God a praise and shout. Give him a praise and a shout. Give him your worship. Come on, he's worthy of it all. He's worthy of it all in Jesus' name. Well, good morning, good morning. It's so good to see you in church. If you're here for the first time, my name is Josiah. I'm the lead pastor of Freedom House Church. And I always like to give a shout out to all of our campuses. We're one church in multiple locations. Fullerton, Online, Irvine, Espanol, and soon to come to Anaheim. Come on, give God a hand clap. What's up, Irvine? What's up, everybody online? So cool that technology allows us to be in multiple locations, multiple times. And if you didn't know this, we got people that log in from all across the nation, all across the world, and we are able to minister. A lot of bad things come through technology, but thank God we could bring the good thing and the good news of Jesus Christ through technology. Amen. And so good to see you. But we're going to continue our series on God first. And so as you remain standing, let's jump right into the Word of God. And a lot of ground to cover today as I'm going to be finishing up part two of a message I began last week. Well, we've gone on a series this last couple of weeks, a series called God First. Someone say, God first. And we live in a generation that, you know, tries to put other things first and ends up empty. But the scripture tells us if we put God first, that he'll add all those things to us. And so we've been really discussing this, studying this. It's been a powerful series. But last week, I started a message, and I didn't finish it for lack of time because the worship team took a long time. And I ran out of time. Just joking. I'm picking on it. I just overstudy sometimes. But it's okay. Okay, I want to feed you well, the Word of God. But, and so it was a half haircut. Today's the second half of the haircut. And funny stories, I used to give $5 fades. That's how I paid my way through college. Come on now. No more fades, so I'm not going to fade you up. Anyhow, but what's it called? And today's the second half of the haircut. But if you missed last week's message, please go online, listen to the message, and I'll try to recap it today as well. But Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. And I'm going to pair that verse with Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 5. And what we're learning is when we put God first, everything will fall into place. But when we don't put God first, everything's out of order. And so we're bringing things back to order. Scripture reads like this, and this is Jesus speaking. Who's speaking? And this is what Jesus is going to tell us about priorities. He says, but seek what? First, his kingdom and his righteousness. And the scripture says, and all these what? Things will be given to you as well. The world we live in seeks things and comes up empty. But God says in the kingdom, if we seek him first, he will give us all the things, all the things that the world promises to give us and end up empty. God will give us that true fulfillment. Even if I can use this word, that true happiness that only comes by serving him. Go to Exodus chapter 20. This is where the Ten Commandments are given. I want to bring focus and attention to the first commandment. It says, and God spoke all these words saying, I, the Lord, I am the Lord, your God, and who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Egypt is a metaphor of our past. We all have a metaphorical Egypt, the past God brought us out of. He says, out of the house of bondage. He brought us out of things that kept us compressed, depressed, you know, constrained. God broke us free. Amen. And he says, so therefore, watch the first commandment. Verse 3 says, you shall have no other gods, lowercase gods, false gods. He says, before me. He says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or is in the earth beneath, or the waters that are under the earth. And this is what's called an idol. God was saying, don't make any idols, any images. Don't put anything above me. He says, verse 5, you shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. In other words, he wants to spend time with you. I said last week jokingly, it's not that he's the jealous God like your ex-boyfriend or your stalker girlfriend. Come on, somebody. Stalker ex-girlfriend, okay? He says, I'm a jealous God because he's your father. He wants to spend time with you. He longs for you. He says, I'm a jealous God. But then listen to this last sentence very carefully. He says, I visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. Hate's a strong word, but he's talking about those who dishonor him and don't put him first, that God visits the iniquities. And this is a generational stronghold where God literally says, when I am not put first, there are generational strongholds that are passed in homes to the third and the fourth generation. I'm going to talk about those because some of the idolatry or the idols that you and I battle are because of things that we're not dealt with. And whatever we don't deal with, we are leaving idols in our families. And we need to talk about those. Amen. There's hope though. Someone say there's hope. Come on, there's hope. Why? Because we're in God's house. We got God's word, God's strength, God's love, God's power. Amen. And we're going to do that. So I want to talk to you today, part two, about God first in our future. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We bow our heads not out of condemnation, but we bow our heads out of reverence. That God, you are above and we are beneath. The scripture says the earth is your footstool and heaven is your throne. And God, we humble ourselves right now under the mighty hand of God, the mighty word of God. Speak to us, Lord. We did not come to church to hear the word of man. We came to hear the word of God. So Father, I ask you, shower us with your love. Shower us, God, this morning with your presence, Lord. And Father, build us up. And if I can even say this, challenge us, convict us, mold us and shape us like the potter did the clay into the men and women you've called us to be. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Give God one more hand clap. You may be seated. And just tell the person next to you, say, put God first. Tell them that. Say, put God first. If you're watching online, just type it in. God first. That's right. And that's what we've been talking about here the last couple of weeks at Freedom House. We've been doing a study of just that principle, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, about really putting God first. And I've been really been in this season studying this because I look at our culture, and if there's anything we need is we need God. But we just don't need God fourth on the list. We need God first on the list. And life, I mentioned this last week, is not about balance. I think balance, the word balance is overrated. Life is about priorities, okay? Because balance, when I talk about balance, now, of course, you should live a life that is not overboard on anything, but it is impossible to overcome. How can you spend 40 hours at everything all week long, right? 40 hours at work, 40 hours at this, 40 hours, 40, it's impossible. There's not enough hours in the week. I got 40 kids, just joking, four kids, okay? I can't do 40 hours with my kids. So it's balance can almost throw you off because you look at your week and say, oh my goodness, life is not about balance, it's about priorities. And I want you to say, life is about priorities. And the kingdom is about priorities. It's about God, I need to have my priorities in line. When your priorities are out of whack, that's when your life is unhealthy in the God sense. And so life is about having priorities, being a person of priorities, being a person of importance. Because if everything is a priority, nothing's a priority. Does that make sense? Okay. If everything's important, nothing's important. Because you're giving the same level of priority to everything, and that's why you can quickly fall into idolatry because you're putting things, giving too much priority to something that really shouldn't be a priority. And you have to identify and make a decision as what your priorities are going to be in life. And I shared with you last week, again, this is my recap, then I'll get into this morning's teaching. I shared with you last week different levels of priorities and what that can bring out of your life, right? You can have a busy life priority where work is your priority, and you can have a recreation priority where recreation is, it's all about fun, right? Ooh, I dropped my ring. Amen. Help me out right there. I've been losing weight, and I need to get a new ring. Amen. So that's a good thing. You can bring it up, Jay. Thank you so much, honey. You know I love you. Thank you for I received the ring yet again at the altar of the Lord, honey. Okay. So I've been losing weight. Y'all help me pray for your boy, right? So anyhow, back to this. Someone say priority, all right? And we're going to go today. Look, get fitted, right? So, but priorities, amen? And we need to live a life of priority. In other words, what is first, what is second, what's third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh? And I shared that last week that we can choose our priorities. That's the whole quandary of life is what's important to you. And if we fall quickly into idolatry is we will make things a priority above God and then wonder why we're empty. And he says, wonder why we're always disappointed. Wonder why we're always frustrated. Because nothing, listen to me, nothing can fulfill our lives and fill the vacuum of our hearts that only God can fill us with. So someone say, God first. And here comes the battle. This is the battle. The battle is not simply to say God is first. The battle is to keep God first. Okay? Because we can say it in word, in theory, in doctrine, even in belief. We can even have the God first theology. God is first. God, God, God. And we say it on Sunday, but then our schedule Monday through Saturday doesn't reveal a God-first schedule. Ooh, it got quiet up in here, right? So we say it in word, but in life and deed, really, God, you're not first because come Monday, you're like somewhere on the 10th. Okay? Come on, somebody. Amen. Now, we're in church, and praise God we're in church, and praise God we're here, but many of you know that you can go to church every Sunday and still be disconnected from God. It's possible. You can go to church till your church shoes wear off. And still be disconnected from God. Because the church service, it feeds us, but prepares us to walk with him Monday through Saturday. Say amen.
And so this God first thought that we're on, it's about learning to keep God first. That, Lord, as I walk through my life, Lord, as I walk through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, what does that God first life look like practically? Does it mean that I go to the church every day of the week, and that means God is first? I'm breaking this down, and hopefully you're downloading to your life how you can build a God first marriage, how you can build a God first family, how you can build God first teenagers. Lord knows me, God first teenagers. How we can build a God first legacy. Because if anything the world needs to see is a church, because the world ain't gonna honor God, only God's people gotta honor God. And we're going to show the world that when you put God first, I can build a God first business, God first success, a God first life. Say amen. And do it God's way. I don't need to do it the world's way. I can do it God's way. That you can be spiritual and you can yet still be successful. You don't have to sell your soul to the devil to try to prove success. That you're a man of God. You're a woman of God. We're a family who honors God. Someone say God first. And so how do we keep God first? Here it is. Number one, write this down. The point that I left off last week. Took me a lot of time to get through this point, but don't make idols. Someone say, don't make idols. So the way the Lord tells us, how do I live a God first life? He says, the first commandment, put no other gods before me. And then he says, don't make any images and don't bow down to anything other than him. Put him, don't make idols. And the paradox is that we can live our lives thinking, well, I don't make idols. I'm not an idol worshiper. You're like, I don't bow down to little statues, or I'm not a Satanist and witchcraft. But they're sneaky idols. Because the definition of an idol, you can write this down if you want to. I mentioned it last week, but I'll say it today. The definition of an idol is anything or anyone who takes the center focus off of God. So anything or anyone who takes the center focus off God and puts it on anything else. That can become an idol. Anything. Say, don't say anything. So they're sneaky idols. They're sneaky, right? And it can be anything. It can be a person. It can be a boyfriend. It can be a girlfriend. Come on now. You know? You're like, no, God, you're first. But yet you're with your boyfriend. He don't want to serve God, so you don't serve God. That's your idol. You know? You're sleeping together, and you ain't married. If you love me, say, if you put a ring on it. Sister Beyonce said it best. If you love me, should have put a ring. Okay, all right. Get it right there. All right. You know, boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, kids can become an idol. You know, it's anything that you make your obsession. There's a good word, obsession. It can become your idol. And we need to be very careful. And I'm going to read scriptures today because we can become obsessed. A thought can become an idol. Success can become an idol. And none of these things are bad, okay? None of these things are bad. But good gifts make bad gods. Did you hear what I said? Good gifts make bad gods. We can make success an idol. We can make all these things idols, right? Money can become an idol. Is money bad? Say no. If you think it's bad, give it all to church because we're trying to close escrow on a building, okay? Just get rid of it. Okay? No, it's not bad, okay? It's not bad, but you can make it a god. Does that make sense? Because you can be financially prosperous, but spiritually poverty. See what I'm saying? And so it can become, now, I want you to be both. I want you to be spiritually successful, and I want you to be financially blessed and go change the world for good and for God. Say amen, okay? But don't be out of balance, right? Because that can become your God. So again, good gifts make bad gods. And so we have to identify this and watch very carefully what can happen. Now, why does God not want us to have idols? Point number two, let's get down to work today. Point number two, write this down. Because idols will always disappoint you. Say, idols will disappoint me. God is not just asking us to put him first. God is requiring that we put him first. Let me say, why is that? Because he created us, and he knows that anything we put before him will always disappoint us. It will always let you down. That anything you put as the center of your fulfillment for life will leave us empty, broken, and disappointed, wondering, why did I not get what I thought I would get from it? You can chase life in doing this. It will literally disappoint us because it cannot give us life. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 14 says it like this. The Bible reads, everyone is senseless and without knowledge, it says. Every goldsmith, is shamed by his idols. Now watch this sentence here. It says, the images he makes are a fraud. They have no breath in them. Idols are a fraud. Why? Because they promise to give us something that it cannot give us. It promises to bring hope or happiness or fulfillment or fun when it gives us the exact opposite. And the Bible says they're frauds. They are pretending to be something they are not. They are a counterfeit. They're scammers. They are frauds. There's this term that goes around right now. It's called catfish, being catfished. Being catfished. And apparently it's something like with online is where you can think you met the man or woman of your dreams. And you're like, I met them. And it's that, you think it's them, but it's really like some person in the basement in their dirty shirt eating hot Cheetos. Okay. And they're just like, yeah. And you're being catfished. And then they start asking you for like money, or, and they start to take care of me, and I found my love, and these people are leaving their families and spouse, and it's like you have been catfished. Now, I don't know why they chose catfish, but apparently catfish is what they chose. That's the whole saying. And they're being catfished. I found my love, and it's like, no, you're being catfished, man. It's a fraud. There are a lot of people being catfished in the spirit. You are enamored with something that cannot give you what it really is. Because behind it is Satan with his dirty shirt eating hot Cheetos. I'm sure he doesn't eat hot Cheetos, right? Okay. And there's a lot of people being spiritually catfished. Because you're hoping that this is it. I found what's going to fulfill me. But the Lord says, it's a fraud. It's a counterfeit. And sooner, I hope you reach it sooner. I hope you realize it sooner than later. Talk to me now or talk to me later. That you can build your life thinking that is going to fulfill you. Just to reach it and feel empty. And so many people that think that that is what's gonna that's gonna fill them, and it can't, because idols can't feed you. Idols can't change you. Idols will literally they will leave you disappointed time and time again. Anything that you put your expectation on something other than God, you will always be disappointed. So how do I remove idols? How do I remove them? So I'm not disappointed. This is not your third point, but just write this down somewhere. You remove idols by growing the size of God in your life. Growing the size of God in your life. What I mean by that? What I mean is I have to recognize that I don't need to go outside of God to find the greatest fulfillment and fun. Does that make sense? Like, God is not a joy kill. He's not trying to take away your fun. Maybe you were raised in a very legalism, okay? Religiousism. What is legalism? That's where it's like, go to church, don't smile in church. What's wrong with you? You're supposed to suffer. So you gotta have like the, I got punched in the gut look. What are you doing? I'm serving God. Sorry, got punched in the gut. Hello, somebody. You gotta grow the size of God. And realize, God is not a killjoy. He's not trying to take it from me. He's trying to give it to me in the right way. But we live in a culture, watch this now, that feeds us a steady diet of idols. That in order to have fun and fulfillment, it's outside of God, not in God. These are, the Bible says it, doctrine of demons. That in order to have, that we think freedom is apart from God. When no, freedom is serving God. I'm gonna say it one more time. Freedom is serving God. It's not apart from God, it's serving God. But you gotta realize the doctrines that we believe, because we, in theory, you can say God first, but in thought and in life and belief system, we walk Monday through Saturday saying, no, true freedom is just do what you want. Don't listen to God's word, because God's word is just trying to control you. Trying to control you. And we view God's principles as restriction. I felt that. When the truth is God's principles is power and freedom, because we serve a God of priorities. Okay, let me just explain it at a very oversimplified level, and forgive me for it. But can you imagine if on the freeway there were no lines? What would it be like? Some of y'all, there are lines. Some of y'all drive crazy. Come on now. Okay. But you drive like there are no lines. Man, there are no lines on the freeway. I've been there in third world countries. It's chaos, anarchy. Okay? That's the exact thing that happens when a person who lives without lines. You think God's lines are to restrict you when the truth is God's lines are to get you where you're supposed to go in a healthy, healed, delivered fashion. Come on, shout amen. And so, idolatry, okay? There's a word called adultery. That's different. Idolatry is when we cheat on God with other gods, lowercase gods. It's different. It's when you put where God should be, you put something else there. That's called idolatry. And God says, don't bow to other idols. They're gonna disappoint you. You're gonna live your whole life. Give your energy, your time, your resource. And, he says, and you're gonna realize, why do I still feel empty? It's because you put that above God. When God's like, if you put me first, I never said I don't want you to have that. But if you put me last, that cannot give you what you're searching for. And I'm telling you, America, we are a nation of idols. I say it with love and with grace and sincerity in my heart, but we're a nation of idols that so easily falls into idols. The human heart, listen to me, is a idol factory. That's what we are. We are idol factories. There's so many things that our hearts that so easily we put to be the king of our heart. And that's why God says don't do it, because it will disappoint you. People live their whole lives, and we got to be careful even how we raise our children, what we idolize in our homes. Okay, I'm going to get a little ahead of myself, but it's all right. It's my message. Do what I want. Okay, very careful, because scripture said I visit the iniquities. Like, it like turned real, south real quick. He's like, don't make any other gods before me. And by the way, fathers, if you make any, I'm going to visit your children in the third and fourth generation. It's like, whoa. Like, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. This got real serious here. What he was saying is, careful what you idolize in your home, because I will have to deal with it to the third and the fourth generation of your kids. Whatever you make an idol, it doesn't just die with you. It stays. We gotta be careful. Careful. Careful what you make number one. Careful. Especially in our generation. My son is getting into sports and stuff like that. And I'm talking to parents. He's getting ready to go to high school. And, you know, he's getting looking at different Division I schools. And he's doing really well. And I'm talking to other parents. And they're talking about right now what's really big is like the NIL deals. NIL deals. NIL deals. What high school they go to? What kind of, you know, deal package can they get when they get to college? And got to secure the bag, secure the bag, secure the bag, secure the bag. Got to secure the bag, secure the bag. It just didn't sit well with me. I'm like, why are we putting that into these kids? 14, 15, secure the bag, secure the bag. And I'm like, you know what? I'm more into securing their soul. Yeah. They didn't like it. I don't care. It just didn't sit well. I'm like, why are we putting this into these kids? Like, what bag they're going to secure? I'm like, I'm more into, like, securing their soul right now. I'm more like, where's their heart? Not like, you know, secure the bag, secure the bag. Because if not, that will become an idol. That their whole hope and affection, and then when they don't get it, guess what? Their world falls apart. I'm not good enough. I suck. It's like, what? If that happens, great, but that's not number one. You got to know who you are. Oh, I feel this thing. You got to know who controls your future, and God is first. Come on. Someone say, secure your soul. I'm telling you, because idols disappoint. I've been fortunate, and I say this with sincerity and humility, but I don't like to talk a lot about this because I don't like to, you know, people that always like name drop or brag. It's like, whatever, dude. But in light of this context, God has allowed me to, I'm able to do some Bible studies for NFL teams and football players. And I've been in rooms where these men, well, they're like boys. They're young, like 10. I'm like, I'm older. I'm 41. I can say that they're in their 25s. Right? These young guys, these boys, you know what I mean? And the old guy now. What's up, guys? They got multi-million-dollar contracts and playing on some of the highest stages. And can I tell you, they need prayer. They're the top 1% that, and again, I'm not discouraging. They happen to make it to these levels, but you know how stressed they are? Knowing that at any moment, one play, it could all change. One play. Boop, like that. One play, it could all be gone. Bye. If they don't perform on the field for their contract, they could be traded in the offseason and everything. They worked their whole lives, it'd be gone. Pray for me, Pastor. I feel the stress. And if that is their God, that's why they turn to drugs. Ruin their families. But if we raise our kids that is the greatest idol, I'm telling you, even if they get there, if they don't have God first, they are going to crumble and fall apart. I've seen it. People, CEOs, I work with them, that have built multi-million dollar companies but can't build a family. Talk to me, somebody. Oh, Lord, help me this morning. If whatever you idolize, I'm telling you, even when you get there, it will disappoint. Because it cannot fulfill you. You're going to say, I need you, God. I should have got you my foundation when I started this journey because I don't want to be disappointed. I want to live in my destiny and fulfillment. Shout amen. God says, don't have any other idols. Why? Number three, write this down, because idols will dominate you. They'll dominate you. They will dominate you. They will control you. Few people are actually really in control of their lives. What really controls their lives are their impulses and their idols. Your addiction tells you what you're going to spend this week. Your addiction tells you where you will spend your time this week. It's an idol. It's an idol, and it will dominate you. It will control you. Here's how the scripture says it, and I'm going to read it here really quick. Put it on the screen if you can for me, team. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, it says here, it says, you know that when you were pagans, you're like, I'm not no pagan. This is talking about your past. Okay, this is when, you know, when you were ratchet. Kind of still am, but Lord help me. Come on, go ahead. So I'm in church, okay? So just let me translate it. You know when you were like ratchet, okay? And didn't care? Told people, that's your problem. I am. Okay, no. No, it's your problem. Okay. While you were pagans, is somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray. What does scripture say? To what? To mute idols. And when it talks about mute idols, it's talking about idols that really can't speak to us and help us. But we got influenced. We were influenced. A picture was painted to us, was fed to us, sold to us. And we believe this. We are influenced by influencers or social media. We got influenced and it came into our lives. And now we were led astray from putting God first to thinking something else. And that's why you have to manage your obsessions. That's a good word, your obsessions. Manage your obsessions, because that will become your idol. For example, what's the thing you cannot wait to do after church service? You're like, I'm hungry. That might be your idol. Nah, I'm not. We all need to eat. You know what I'm talking about. Like, what's the thing? Let's think on a little more higher picture. What's the thing that you're obsessed about all day long? That you can't get out of your mind. What's the thing that you're just like you can't wait, and you're just like, that's what I'm pursuing, that's what I'm going for. Like, what's that thing that guides you? That's what can become your idol. Are you following me? And when that's not God, that quickly, and this is how quick it happens, church. Something else. And we say God first in word, but our weak. We give time to everything else, but we don't give time to the person God is building us to be. It will disappoint and it will dominate you. And you'll wonder, why do I feel empty? Why have I still not become the man, or you ladies, the woman that I know is inside of me? It's because you put an idol there. There's this trail, and if you follow it in your heart, it's called the trail of your obsession, your time, your dreams, your desires, your money. And if you follow that trail in your heart, it'll lead you to a throne. And that throne is what is your God. You walk it. This week, I want you to do your personal prayer time. Just say, God, whenever I close my eyes and I dream, what is my dream? What is my desire? What is my, like, what do I give my effort? Walk that journey, and they're going to find this throne. And whatever's sitting there, if that's not God, it will disappoint you. It will dominate you. And number four, it will even deform you. It'll deform you. Someone say God first. That doesn't mean we don't live lives, so don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But what is that? That we're talking about God first, and we're digging deep, okay? I feel really a passion to talk about this. We have to, because we won't become more like Christ is if just because we have an hour and a half service on Sunday morning. You know, like a little hour and a half service, and you know, and I feed you God's word, and you're like, you feed it, and then, you know, earlier on in the church, when we started the church, people would say, I feel like I'm not being fed. And it's like, well, I wouldn't feel I'd be fed either if I only ate once a week. If the only time you eat is when I'm feeding you, well, of course. You got to learn how to feed yourself Monday through Saturday. Talk to me, somebody. Talk to me, somebody. Amen. You know? Mom, maybe something to eat. Cook your own food, my mom said at one point. Let's go, somebody. Mom. And somebody, you got to say, Pastor, make me food. I ain't at your house. How can I make you food? You know? You got to learn how to feed yourself on Monday through. So this is what this series is how are you putting God first and saying, Lord, I'm going to learn how to put you first, not just on Sunday for an hour and a half. I'm going to go Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, even on Freaky Friday. Because you know Freaky Friday comes up. You get an invitation. Yo, let's go. You're like, hold on. I'm a God first man of God. I'm saying, you know, it's like God first. It will deform you. Literally deform you. Watch what the scripture here says. Put the next verse up there if you can here. Let me go, what verse I want to, it is Psalms 115. It says like this. It says, Psalms 115 verse 8. It says, those who make them, what does it say here? Are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. You become what's your number one. Those who make them become like them. You will become it. You turn into Schmeagle. The precious. Yeah. And I was like, yo. Okay. It's yours, it's mine, you know? And the Bible says you'll become like it. You become whatever you make, he says, whatever you idolize, you become. Why? Because that is your number one. And we were not called to become like that. We were called to become into the image of God. That's why God has to be number one, because I'll become more like him, more like Christ. The fruit of the Spirit, right? The gifts of the Spirit. Our family will become more like Christ when we make it number one. Or else you're going to become, whatever you put number one in your family, whatever you put number one in your life, that is what you will become like. You'll become greedy. You'll become Schmeagle. You will become that because that's your number one. Whatever you come up under is what becomes your God. You will make that image. In the Bible, there are three things the Bible is likened to. If you want to remember this, number one, the Bible is likened to a hammer because a hammer breaks, right? The Bible, the word of God will break things off your life. The Bible is referred to a sword. Why a sword? Because it's sharper than two-edged sword. In other words, it cuts things out of our life. That's why after service, you'll leave service going, oh, man, Pastor, you cut me today. You got me good. Cut me deep, Shrek. You cut me deep, right? It's like, you know? The word of God's a sword. It cuts us. And the third thing the word of God is, it's a mirror. It's a mirror. It shows us our reflection. It's a mirror. But sometimes what we do with that mirror is we do it like this to people. Look at you. Because let's all be honest. It's easier to point out other people's idols than to see our own. So like, you know what, their problem, they're all into themselves. They're always like, they worship themselves. You know, they're all into this. We point out, it's easy to point other people's idols out, but then we don't see our own idols. The word of God isn't like this. Look at you bunch of sinners. You know what I mean? Bola de pecadores. Sounds good in Spanish, huh? Víboras. You know what I mean? Vipers. You know what I mean? It's like, we do this. You know? When the Bible's supposed to be, watch this now. I get the word and go like this. I'm like, oh. I know I had that booger right there. Man, look at me. Here, I'm over here going, you know what you need to do? It's like, not with that booger in your nose, you know what I'm saying? I know I had that in my tooth, you know? Like, yeah, friends, like, do you tell me I had my tooth the whole time over here? Smiling, you know? Come on. The Bible's a mirror. And I'm supposed to get the word and look and go, I don't know, I made that an idol. Because the human heart is an idol factory. It's an idol factory. It's so easy. If we don't put God first, something else will slide in there really quick. It becomes our obsession. We are obsessed with it. And especially if you're like a go-getter, if you're like kind of a go-getter type A personality, you got to be very careful what you get involved in. Because you will obsess about it. You'll obsess about it. Like that, like that's why some of y'all do not start playing Candy Crush. Okay, don't. Some of y'all spent $1,000 already trying to pass levels on Candy Crush. I felt like that minister to someone right now. Let's do an altar call for Candy Crush right now. Amen. You can't. Because you'll obsess every minute. Right now, you're playing. Get delivered. Amen. Let it go. You'll obsess. Becomes number one. That's why I don't do fantasy football. I'm sorry. I don't even invite me to play. Because I know my personality type. I want to be the best. You know? And so I'm like, I can't be in the fantasy world. I need to be in the real world right now. Sorry, guys. Like, no, I'm not hating. Okay, I'm not hating. Sorry. But how many hours are you giving that? And you wonder why you're not giving any hours to the man you're called to be or the woman you're called to be. God, you're first. Survey says fantasy football was first. Amen. Our hearts are idol factories. All of us. That's why God says, careful. Because it's not going to promise you. Isaiah puts it like this, Isaiah 54. So much scripture. Watch, when you start reading the Bible, you realize, God, why are you always talking about idols, like false gods and idols? Like, what's your obsession, Lord? It's not his obsession. He's trying to help you and I. Because anything we put in God's spot will disappoint you, will dominate you, will deform you. And this is what Isaiah said in 54:20. He says, the poor deluded fool feeds on ashes. He trusts in something that cannot help him or her at all. Yet he cannot bring himself to ask, is this idol that I'm holding in my hand a lie? It's a fraud. You ain't gonna catfish me this season. It's a lie, Stephen. Okay. It's a lie. Lord, I'm not gonna be taken for a fool. Say amen. What is it that we worship? What is it that we're surrendering to? What is it that is our obsession that we need to say, God, I need to bring you back into this place? Because you will become your most dominant thought. Idols will deform you. Romans chapter 1, 25 says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. And I'm sure you know people like this. They serve the creation instead of the Creator. They didn't come to church this morning because they're at the lake. Ooh, sorry. Ouch. Amen. Make sure you log in online, though, if you're at the lake right now. Amen. They serve the Creator, right? This is why God is not okay with astrology stuff. He's not okay with horoscope. Why are you looking to the stars? Because of the one who made the stars. Come on, look at the one who made the stars. Say amen. Yeah. What are you? Are you a Taurus? I'm a Christian. That's what I'm a man of God. I'm a Bible believer. I know that nonsense. God's not okay with that stuff. You know, you guys. I say you guys, like, but you know people that are like, what are your days? These are my days. These are my days. These are my days. My lucky day. You want to know what good day is? This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Every day is a good day. Come on, I'm in God's hands. Say amen. But they worship the creation instead of the Creator. They look at this world and thinking this world is to be worshipped. Now I'm going to look to the one who created everything. So how do we keep God first? Point number 5, and I'm done here. We have to put God first and kill your idols. And kill your idols. Put them to death. Now, kill is a very strong word, I know, but I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says, okay? And this is what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Scripture says, all together, read it with me. It says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. It says sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is what? Idolatry. There's our word again. Paul the Apostle in the New Testament, that's the Old Testament, Pastor. Okay, New Testament. He says, put to death these idols. And he gives us a list. He says, put them to death, that list. Sexual immorality, that's, you know, sexual perversions, things. He says, put it to death. He says, because they can become an idol. Now, I know death is a strong word, but the truth is we need to have a funeral for idols and say, I'm going to put it, that's it, I'm done with it. I'm done. This is not going to be number one in your life any longer. This will not be number one in the Silva home anymore. God, you're number one. Got to reorder this thing. Got to reorder this thing. We're going to reorder. You have to come to that realization of what is first. And the Bible says put to death. Now, why does it say put to death? I know that's strong language. And not by the way, this is called a metaphor. So it's, don't be killing nobody, okay? Amen. Just want to put that on the video. Amen. But there might be some connections you got to just put to death because it's become an idol. And you are not under any obligation to give life to areas that are not bringing you life. Don't feel obligated to give your life to what is not bringing you life. Well, you know, it's because we're friends since high school and the girls grow out on Friday and they all go out and they just kind of, they live there, but I'm kind of there and I'm kind of, you know, and we all get dressed up and get all cute. You don't even dress like that no more and go out on Friday night no more. You got a husband at home. At least a couple guys say amen. Come on, say amen. You got kids and you don't be wearing that no more. That's just not for you on Friday night. Thank you for the two claps. Thank you for the two claps. Thank you for the three claps. Thank you for the four claps. That's not for you. Put that to death because you're still idolizing like you're in college or in high school. It's gone. Put it to death. Don't do that no more. You're not that type of woman anymore. Amen. Put it to death. Fellas, put it to death. It's just certain things. It's gone. It's, you know, it's over. You're a man of God now. Put it to death. That's it. There's certain things that you will have to live as a family and decide what is not allowed so that you can be a God-first family. Someone made the mistake of telling me, there's like, you're like a overprotective parent, huh? Like, you're really protective. I'm like, ooh, yeah, I love that. I'm like, yeah. That's a compliment, by the way. If anyone ever tells you as a parent that you are too protective, you should take that as a compliment. Because what's the opposite? Am I supposed to be underprotective? Come right in, devil, and just wreck my child's life. Go on, go ahead. So yes, I'm gonna be protective on what. And so there's certain things we're gonna put to death. Yeah, you're not gonna be watching those type of YouTube channels, those type of shows. Yeah, you're not gonna be on social media. Sorry, nope. That's not an iPad. That's my pad. Come on, somebody. Come on. That's my pad. And my pad too, by the way. That's good. Because with your own pad, you can decide, well, you have this my pad in my pad. So we're going to put certain filters on it. And yeah, you're not going to, I don't care. But, you know, little Johnny, if your name's Johnny, little Johnny, I don't care. Little Johnny ain't my kid. You're my kid. And we're going to put that to death. And that's all right. That's all right. Come on, clap. That's all right. Someone say that's all right. We don't do that. Sorry, we don't. The Silva family, we're a God-first family. We honor God's word. We honor what God said. And what that doesn't just look like Sunday for an hour and a half. That's Monday through Saturday. So yeah, we don't talk like that. We don't act like that. We don't roll like that. Those are not our priorities. Not the Silva family values. Because I've shared those with you before. We have Silva family values. I tell my children, because you're a Silva, because that's how we are raising you to be world changed, to be men and women of God, so that you can go and live a life of fulfillment and power. Why? Because we're a God first family. Come on, someone say God first. So there's certain things we're gonna put to death, right? You ain't hanging out with little Ricky. Sorry, your name's Ricky. Let me give you parents some advice. Pick their friends. I'm telling you, I'm helping you. I might have to do a whole other family series, I feel. You're welcome. My wife said yes. You got it, honey. Amen. Is you pick their friends. Pick them. So yeah, nope. That's not going to be your friend. I've done it to my kids all the time. They're like, what? Nope. Don't have the same values we have. That's okay. No, wonderful person. Tell them to come to church. But nope, yeah, it's just not the same values we have. So we're gonna put that relationship to death. Amen. What? You're over. I'm not overprotective. It's called parenting. It's called involved parenting. Amen. Amen. All right. And so these are things that we need to be involved in. Why? Because we're God first family. God first family. And let me just say this back to the teen years. Bring them to student night. Now I'm harping. I know. Sorry. Forgive me. Let me just do a quick pastor rant and I'll be out of your way. Okay? Bring them to student nights. You know how many times, how many practices you take them to, but you don't bring them to student night? Okay, now I'm harping. I know. Just let me harp. Give me 30 seconds, okay? It's like, Pastor, my teenagers are out of control. Well, how many practices you take them to, but you won't bring them to student night where they can get ministered to and delivered to? Come on now, you know? You're taking the football games an hour and a half early. You can't bring them to student night. You go to how many cities, how many states, and you can't bring them? Say amen. Okay. So you don't bring them to kids' church on Sunday. If there are any other, as a matter of fact, if you have kids for no other reason, come to church for them. Just endure me for an hour and a half. Let them get ministered to. Amen. Because we got to bring them. You know what I mean? This is a God first family. Say God first family. So he brings us to death. Why does God want us to put this to death? Because of this last verse, and then I'll be out of your way. I'm going to pray. We're going to do something special. Then I'll let you be set free here for this afternoon. Okay. But go to Exodus chapter 20. Remember we talked about iniquities. Okay. Remember we talked about iniquities? Okay. I want to just talk about that here as I wrap and closing. But go to Exodus 22 if you can. And the scripture says like this. It says, okay, I'll go to my notes. Amen. Exodus chapter number 20, verse number 5. He says, you shall not bow down nor to them nor serve them. He says, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. He loves his kids. He says, visiting, watch this now, the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. I want you to see here that God says he visits the iniquities of the fathers. Men, look at me real quick. It did not say he visits the iniquities of the mothers. He visits the iniquities of the fathers. Men, mothers and fathers are equal in value, but not equal in responsibility that God holds you accountable to. Men, you are the leader of your home. You're the priest of your home. And God is going to hold you accountable on your iniquities. So I should put some fear of God in us. He says, I will visit your children to the third and the fourth generation. In other words, the kids aren't even born yet in your home. They're going to have to deal with stuff. Now, what is iniquity? Write this down. Iniquity literally means inner vows. Inner vows. Iniquity literally means a bend. Like if I had a pipe here and I bent the pipe, that would be an iniquity. It's a bend. It's an iniquity. Iniquities can lead to sin, but iniquities are not always sin. Are you tracking with me? Iniquities bend you towards sin. They bend you towards habits. God says that he judges a family based upon the father. Now, single mothers, if you're saying, well, what if my kid's father is no longer, just stay with me, okay? Let me just, for those fathers that are here, God says, I'm going to deal with your children on the bends that you allowed in your home. I had to personally deal with my father's iniquities in my life. My father was a drug addict. He was a runner. Domestic violence. Don't worry, I didn't hit my wife. But I had to deal with it in my life growing up. Being a peleon, fighting, violent, and just getting in trouble for no reason. Rebellious. These are bends because I was raised in those, my father's iniquities. His bends became my bends. Because his number one, his idols started to become my idols. And fathers, your idols will become your children's idols. Man, help us, Lord. How you're raising your family will become their bends. So if you're a work first man, your family will, you wonder why your children will have to fight those bends. If you're a fun, I'm just gonna have fun, you'll wonder why you were able to provide that, but why they're always lost in that. You have to realize what bends, what iniquities. Now the Bible says God visits them. God didn't say he was gonna judge them. He's gonna visit them. In other words, God wants to deal with every generation. Are you gonna surrender to those iniquities? Or are you gonna break those bends and have breakthrough in your life? For those single mothers that are here saying, well, what if their father, your child will have to face those bends. But here's the hope we have in Christ, is we serve a bend breaker. We serve a bondage breaking. Come on. We serve an inner vow delivering a freedom-giving anointing power of God, that if that child doesn't have a father figure, you need the Heavenly Father more than ever, because only God can break the iniquity that has been in her life, in his life, for generations to come. Someone say, break the iniquity. You got to break those iniquities, or they will succumb to them just like it got them. And how many men in your family have succumbed to those iniquities? Let it stop with you. Ladies, you too. Let it stop with you. How many iniquities that you say, I'm not going to repeat this. I'm not going to idolize what they idolized. Because we're all raised in homes of idols. You say, no, we're going to rework this thing. We're God first. And God, watch this now. He'll visit, but they'll break it just like you broke it. Why? Because God is the breaker of all bends and iniquities in Jesus' name. Come on, give God a hand clap. Stand to your feet.